Ryan, meet Joey Angelo.
Hey, Ryan, how's it going, my man?
Hey, Joey, how are you?
I'm doing well. Doing well. How you doing?
Good. All right. I appreciate this clear connection because I just interviewed somebody who had to go in a closet in their hotel for the noise. So that was fun.
No, we're good. That won't happen twice to you, I promise.
Yeah, I get it. It happens on a book tour. But nevertheless, I'm glad you're here. And let's just, we'll talk about the product and your career. And I have some questions about entrepreneurship. And we'll go from there.
Sounds great. Fire away.
All right, here we go in 3, 2. And welcome back to the Big Wake Up Call. I'm Ryan Gatenby, and time to talk to my next guest, who is an entrepreneur, particularly in the liquor industry. We're going to talk about a brand new product that was just sent to me in a delightful bottle. It's a Sukasa. It is mezcal. And I hope I'm pronouncing that right, and I should because I took 8 years of Spanish, and I can't have forgotten all of it. But let's visit with Joey Angelo. Joey, good morning, and thanks for joining me today.
Good morning, and perfect pronunciation.
I couldn't tell if I should do the Castilian pronunciation or not because I love throwing the THs in there.
No, that's all right. You did just fine.
So tell us about Sukasa and what makes this, we hear this, it's an agave spirit. They're people talk about them as if they're interchangeable. What makes this one different?
What makes this one different are a few things, and I'll just kind of run right through it. So, you know, I've been in the space for almost 20 years now, and I'm a big agave guy and a big wine and spirits person. And, you know, you read all these trade magazines and publications, and everybody just goes on and on how big mezcal is. And I'm a believer and I'm a mezcal lover, but you don't see any brand recognition out there. People don't call it by name. There's no brand loyalty. And it just doesn't match up with the numbers, and it's catching up to tequila and double digit growth and all this kind of stuff. So I really took a deep dive on the why. And that's kind of how Sukasa was born. And my whys are, I think packaging. We have that really distinctive custom blue bottle that really pops, and it's very consumer friendly, where a lot of them are stock bottles and, skeletons and dark and, very
right.
Basic stuff. A lot has to do with the name. For the average consumer, we joked earlier, but, it's a real thing. Like, a lot of these names are very hard to pronounce. So hence Sukasa. I think I got away with murder on that one. We could do the Mikasa Sukasa thing all day long if you'd like. And then the smoke level. So a lot of mezcals are super smoky, which I personally don't mind, at home with a big ice cube and stuff, a little sipper. But for the masses and what we're really trying to do, we wanted to lower the smoke a little bit. We still want to remain true to mezcal, but I don't want it to taste like a cigar in a glass. So we really wanted to make it more approachable and more for everyone.
Now, where does that smokiness come from? Is it the way it's distilled?
It's actually the cooking process, and that's the big difference between tequila and mezcal. I'm glad you asked. So mezcal is traditionally cooked underground, and that's where you're getting, it's like roasting a pig, right? It's like, that's where you're getting that smoke, that earth, that funk that, people, or it's very distinctive of mezcal and people really enjoy. That's really where that flavor comes from.
So it's kind of like almost a sister spirit to scotch, in that you're getting more of that that smoky earthiness?
I would say it's a cousin of tequila, and you're getting a little of that smokiness.
Okay.
And it's really, it's a lot closer to tequila too. And when you try it, you'll see. We could talk afterwards. I'd love to hear your opinion on it. But it's very agave forward, and you're getting the fruit of the agave, and you're getting all the green pepper and all that stuff that people really enjoy about tequila. And then at the end, you're getting hit with a little bit of smoke, but it's not over the top, and it doesn't hit you over the head.
So for somebody who is new to it, and I've tasted it before, not this particular one. I thought, I could pop this open and do it during the interview, but probably not wise. But for someone trying it for the first time, what would be the best way to do so? Would you want to incorporate this into a cocktail?
Yeah, for sure. And another great question. It's, another reason I really love this spirit so much in this category is because anything you could do with tequila, you could do with mezcal. And I just think it's a little more interesting. You know, very similar to like vodka versus a gin. It's just, you can make the same cocktails. It's just more interesting. Gin has juniper and all these distinctive flavors. And, you know, and that's the same thing with mezcal. It just makes you, if you're like a classic margarita, it makes an amazing classic margarita. If you're a Paloma person, it makes an incredible Paloma. We were having espresso martinis last night with mezcal, and it's just, you know, if that's your cup of tea, then you'll really enjoy it with mezcal, because it's just that much more flavor.
Now, why do you see this exploding in popularity, and we see something that, you know, agave spirits are taking over from vodka, outselling in bars in the U.S. this year, like the number one selling liquor in a bar? What is the change come that people are trending more toward agave spirits?
Well, you know, you're always seeing shifts, you know, in this industry. And it's, you know, a lot of it derives from the popularity of tequila. Tequila, it just kind of took over, and you know, and it's got a lot of really great attributes about it. It's actually, mezcal's the healthiest thing you could actually drink. If you're drinking, tequila is very close as well, so that kind of took over a lot of people that are into physical fitness, and ever, you know, everybody's a little more concerned about, you know, how they look and how they feel these days and working out, and a lot of it came from that. And it really kind of rides on the heels of the popularity of tequila, so it's just that next shift.
So as an entrepreneur, and I imagine this is a very difficult industry to break into when it's controlled by several large, I see, you know, that's probably an understatement, the corporations
and the hardest business in the world.
the corporations and the distributors, like how do you even begin to try to break into that? And just knowing, if even just getting it to retail, just getting that shelf space in retail almost seems impossible.
It really is. And you're spot on. And it's very much, you know, I feel like my life is every morning is just, you know, it's David versus Goliath. And you're constantly battling monsters every single day. And it's you got to be built for it, because it's, you know, most days you're taking a beating. And that's just the truth of it. But to answer your question, you really, you can't jump into the, oh, me too, and copy and paste thing. You know, other people's ideas are other people's ideas. You really need to carve out something that's very much you and very much your product. And you can tell just aesthetically, if I didn't even tell you the taste or price point or anything, I mean, just look at our package.
Right.
And that's a real thing. You know, like our national average, nationally, we sell about a little over a case per account per month. This is on the retail side, which is what all the big boys do. So you look at all the data, we're right there, and we don't do any special promotion. It's not a special price. It's, you know, no tastings or discounts or anything. It's just a bottle on a shelf. And I really think, you know, the packaging speaks to the consumer. Once they taste it, our reorder rate is in the high 90 percentile. So they're definitely enjoying it, because our data shows that they're coming back.
I remember we talked a while back with Jim Cook from Sam Adams and told me the story. It took us 35 years to get 1% of the beer market, which doesn't sound like a lot, but when you consider the industry, that 1%, number one craft beer having 1%, it's quite a stat.
What, 1%? Your great-grandchildren are living on a yacht.
Right.
And Jim Cook's a legend, as you know. Definitely somebody to look up to for sure. Yeah, you know, it's really, he's spot on. It's you just got to be less concerned. You know, be cognizant of what people are doing. Obviously, know the space. But I think people really kind of make big mistakes when they do that copycat thing. There's no reason for two or three or four or five, or, you know, if someone's already there, they're already there. You have to truly do something unique, and not just for the sake of doing it. You have to do it for all the right reasons, because it shows. The consumer is so educated right now. Like, the days of getting one over, if you will, or that kind of, I mean, those are long gone. So you really have to believe wholeheartedly in your product and really carve out something unique about it. And not in a contrived way, a very organic way, because people see right through it.
Yeah, I like what you said there. The days of like fooling the consumer with some sort of like look-alike or sound-alike, or yeah, trying to ride on the coattails of another brand. I don't know if you get away with that anymore. People have far too many options to research and discover.
Totally. And that's the consumer too, you know, and there's a lot of, you know, like we're, you know, our product is additive free and made by one of the greatest mezcal families ever in the industry. And, you know, there's so much going on, like the history of what we do. And we don't really like broadcast that because the consumer finds out on their own, and we like it that way. I, you know, it's a different consumer now. Nobody wants to be told anything. They want to discover, and I like it that way. You know, we have all those attributes, and I'm very proud of all of it, but, you know, let the consumer do the digging and find out, and they will, and they want to learn, and the education is there. And, you know, I think that would make, and, you know, to kind of answer your question earlier, that shift, you know, from tequila and stuff, it's such an interesting category and spirit, and I think people really like to learn about new things and new categories and bring cocktails home and talk to their friends about it, and mezcal's got this like mysterious kind of cool thing too. It's kind of in a badass kind of way, and it's got that thing going too, and it's just a lot of fun overall.
I'm sure, yeah, that is just the process of making it. Has that improved? Is there just a particular region of Mexico that is the most desired to get this from?
It's not so much that it's the most desired. In order to call it mezcal by law, and there are very strict regulations, it has to be from Oaxaca.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, just like tequila has to be from Jalisco. There's agave spirits. Like, I mean, they're making mezcals and tequilas in Texas, but they can't call it such. They just have to call it agave spirit or agave base. But in order to, you know, go through the regulation and the CRM and the whole process and, you know, get that stamp of approval from the Mexican government, it has to be from Oaxaca.
Oh, so people who are trying to cheap out, are they having to call it something different or label it? And I'm thinking of that bottle, you know, that you're getting at the drugstore for $6.99.
It's not so much like a cheap out. It's more like a regional type thing. You know, they're making it in a very similar process. It's not like trying to get one over. I think it's more a localization. Like Australia just got big into the agave. You know, they have beautiful farms and they have that climate.
Oh, sure.
So they kind of jumped in. Yeah, and I actually have a dear friend of mine that just launched one in Australia. He's originally from there. He went back home to do this project, but they just legally cannot call it tequila. You know, very, very similar taste profile. Everything's there, but just by law, they can't call it tequila.
And just a question. So for maybe a hopeful entrepreneur out there, and you hear so many times, oh, I have an idea for this. What is the step you need to take beyond idea to start, you know, seriously considering how to even bring that to market? And that's so far down the line, just to begin the first step toward, I want to introduce this.
Are you specifically to my industry or just in general?
In general, but I know you can speak to the liquor industry. I'm sure, you know, the craft beer market seems to have gone insane, and 90% of it is IPAs, and that seems to be falling apart, like everyone jumped on an IPA bandwagon.
It's no different than the ready-to-drink category, too, which actually I'm also in. I own and founded a company called Sip Margs, which are a margarita, you know, picture a high noon, but a margarita cocktail. So it's not a seltzer.
Yeah.
It's the actual cocktail in many different flavors, one of which is actually mezcal. But what you're seeing is, you know, so many people and so many companies. I mean, it's intimidating when you go to these stores, aisles and aisles, no different than the craft beer. I mean, it just, the absolute takeover. And then what happens, like everything else, you know, the kind of cream tends to rise to the top, and it's correcting itself. And you see that now. You see with beer, you see with RTDs. But, you know, to answer your question in terms of, you know, bringing an idea to life, it's a bold move, and you just have to be absolutely certain. And I would say that the advice I would give would be, you got to jump in with both feet. You can't like stick your toe in it. Either you do it or you do not do it. Like, that band-aid needs to be ripped off. And that would, you know, if it's one takeaway, I would probably say that, like, be committed to it. Because, I mean, like you said earlier, I mean, it's almost impossible when you're committed to it. So if you're kind of, pardon my French, half-assing it, it's going to fall apart real quick, in my opinion.
Well, Joey, where can we find out more about our Su Casa here, which I'm I don't know. I've already unwrapped it. I'm about to pop the top. I don't want to do it on the air.
I mean, what are you waiting for, Ryan? Come on. It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
That's right.
I wish I was in Chicago. I'd have one with you. I'll be there in a couple of weeks.
So where do we find out more about Tsukasa, and how do we keep up with you?
Sure. So Tsukasa, you can check us out. Our Instagram is at Tsukasa Mezcal. Our website is tsukasamezcal.com. My personal Instagram handle is at itsjoeyangelo. You can kind of see my whereabouts and the goings on. And you can order the product online at tsukasamezcal.com. We're all over the place at Binny's in Chicago, so all your local Binny stores have us fully stocked and ready to go. And if you order online, it's usually there within like 48 hours or such.
All right, well, Joey,
that's every market in the U.S.
You have my phone number, so when you come into town, yeah, let's do it.
I'd love it. We'll have a couple together.
And we've been visiting with Joey Angelo. Joey, great to talk to you, and yeah, please come back.
I will do. Likewise. Bye-bye.